Ben Riga. I'm a platform advisor on the Windows Azure Evangelism team. And this week at PDC, I've been walking around dragging people out of the corridors and to actually record some of the cool stuff that they're building on the Windows Azure platform. With me is Stephen Forte, who is the, believe it or not, the Chief Strategy Officer for Telerik. What's a Stephen Chief Strategy Officer?
Well, as someone who looks at chat strategy all the time.
Yeah.
Actually, my role, you know, Telerik is a component vendor, and we sell .NET components, so really what we have to do is look at all the technology, the great technology that's coming out of Microsoft, and I need to figure out where Telerik needs to invest in. So we come to PDC, we make sure we're investing in Silverlight 4.0, you know, SQL Azure, Windows Azure, all of that.
So you're almost like an evangelist, but you're also almost technology.
It's more like I'm an evangelist internally inside of Telerik.
Okay.
Right. So I go to these conferences, I talk to people like you, and I talk to people at the teams, I learn about the technology, and then I turn and I evangelize it internally inside of Telerik so that we build those types of, you know, we build products on those platforms.
So today you're doing ASP.NET, you're doing Silverlight, you're doing WPF,
Windows Forms,
so the stuff that we're talking about today, I mean, ASP.NET, Silverlight, those components that Telerik does, they just work on Azure. Right?
Absolutely, right out of the box.
Right, because Windows Azure's ASP.NET hoster, it just runs as a web browser.
Exactly, and we have a lot of customers already deploying, you know, applications up into the cloud, you know, using our controls.
Right. So tell me a little bit about the Azure angle then, because obviously it's beyond just those components, right?
Absolutely. So one of the first things we started looking at was SQL Azure. So we have an object relational mapper, an ORM, named Telerik Open Access. And natively out of the box, what we can do, and we just released this a few weeks ago, what we can do is actually map from SQL Azure tables to persistent classes in a .NET application.
So so where would a developer use that?
Developer would use that as part of their domain logic. So what they would do is they would point the ORM to, normally today, without just connecting to SQL Server.
Was that your machine?
I think that's my phone dying.
Oh.
We can edit that out. Sorry about that. Because I put on silent mode, but yet it's probably telling me I'm supposed to be here or something.
Oops. Let's keep going. So where would a developer use that?
Developer would use that inside of Visual Studio. So Open Access is an ORM, so it's used to connect to a back-end database. Mm-hmm. So typically you would point it to SQL Server or some other relational database. Mm-hmm. You would click a button, map your tables, and then you would use those classes that have been mapped to those particular tables. So if you have Northwind, for example, you have customers, orders, details. You'd have a customers table, an order table, order detail table. You'd use that for your persistence, and you would bind, and you'd use your data logic, use things like link against it. So we've made it that you can actually then map, instead of just a SQL Server or another relational database, natively you can map it to SQL Azure.
Okay. So rather than talk about it in the abstract, why don't we have a look? I know you brought a demo, so let's have a look, and then we'll come back and talk about the process and lessons you learned and the architecture behind how all of that works. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right. Awesome.
All right.
Okay, so here we are. So what are we looking at here, Stephen?
So on our screen is the Open Access Reverse Mapping Wizard. The Reverse Mapping Wizard takes a database connection string, which was the previous screen, which I've skipped for the demo at the moment, and it connects to the database and reads the schema of the database and asks you which database objects, tables, views, and stored procedures would you like to map to persistent classes in .NET. So in this particular case, I'm connected to a version of Northwind because, you know, old habits die hard. I just love Northwind. I grew up with Northwind. I joke and say Nancy DeVolo is my mom. I've actually pushed Northwind up into my personal SQL Azure account. So we're looking at my SQL Azure account. And as you can see over here, I have the list of all the tables. And I've chosen to map just about all these particular tables. So what this will do is now I will have a class, and this is the these are the classes here for each table that I have in Northwind. So I'll have a customer class, an order class, an order detail class. So once those classes are mapped, which they are, what we have is the ability using the ORM technology.
Okay, so hang on. So now we're in Visual Studio.
Okay.
And what is this? Just a standard demo project you have?
Yep. So this is a standard console application, and as you'll see on the side over here, each of these C-sharp files, mm-hmm. each of these objects, are mm-hmm. the classes that represent the table back in our SQL Azure database. Right. So you can see category, customer, and all of the tables that we've chosen to map.
And these were auto-generated?
These are auto-generated.
Okay.
You have the, they actually are generated as partial classes, so then you can manipulate the top part of your class, and then the bottom part, when you regenerate it, you don't actually lose any of your custom logic, custom validation, or anything like that. So, as I said, we're going to just have a very simple demo here. Obviously, a real-world application will be far more sophisticated, but Open Access has a link implementation. It's in line with the Entity Framework and Link to SQL link implementations, and our data source provider here is called an object scope provider. Mm-hmm. This is just the context back to the actual database itself. And I have a very simple link statement. This particular link statement is just getting all of the customers that are in the country of Germany, mm-hmm. and I'm just going to select all of those particular records. Obviously, being a link statement, we can do updates and deletes. As I said, for this particular example, I'm going to just do a very simple link statement. Mm-hmm. So developers will usually take the result of a link query and bind it to a grid, or they might actually, you know, iterate through the collection. Mm-hmm. For this demo, I'm just iterating through the collection, and I'm going to write out to the console window each of the company names. And I'm going to run this application, and we'll see all of the customers in the Northwind database that are in Germany. And the reason why I chose Germany is because, first of all, the developers of the Open Access ORM, a lot of them are based in Germany, so I kind of give them a little bit of feature there. But the very first record in Northwind, ALFKI, which is the primary key, is also a German customer. And you can see, just for testing purposes, I put SQL Azure up as part of the record, so we know that this data is coming from SQL Azure.
Sure.
And that's pretty much it. We've mapped some tables to persistent classes. We've used a link statement to go through those persistent classes, and we've, you know, dumped it out to the console window.
Okay, sweet. All right, so one, I'm going to turn the camera off, and we'll come back and chat about what's going on behind the covers there.
Sure.
So that was actually pretty cool. So Open Access is not a new product, right? I mean, this is something you've had for a while.
Yeah, Open Access is a very mature product. It's been around for a number of years, and we support multiple databases besides. We have an emotional bond with SQL Server, but we also support MySQL and Oracle and some other databases as well.
Sure. So you already had SQL Server. So the interesting part here is SQL Azure. You already had SQL Server. Was it a difficult thing to migrate from SQL? I guess you didn't even migrate it. You're just adding support for SQL Azure.
Correct. So what we did is we treated SQL Azure as a unique implementation, as just how Oracle, SQL Server, MySQL are unique implementations, mm-hmm. as its own provider. But what we did is we took the SQL Server provider mm-hmm. that we have for Open Access, mm-hmm. and we ran it through our unit tests that run on our regular, you know, build process,
right.
and we just put the SQL Azure connection string and saw what broke. And we saw a lot of little things that were different, like you can't use a using statement, or you can't use multiple active result sets and things like that. Mm-hmm. And as we just went through all the differences, we were able to just factor out those particular items and then plug the SQL Azure support right in.
So can you give a sense how long did it take you to get through all of those changes?
It actually only took about, to get through the core changes, we had a working version that we weren't ready to show to the world, but we were going to play with internally and even allow me to blog about.
Right.
It's only a number of weeks, maybe about 3 weeks or so.
Wow. Sweet.
And we had customers kind of downloading some internal builds probably only about a month after we started developing it and giving us feedback.
So can you talk about some of the differences? You mentioned some of them already. So were those the key ones? Were there others that you could talk about?
Probably the biggest one is data types. So in essence, while SQL Azure and SQL Server are very close, there are some data types that are not supported. A good example would be the spatial data types and some of the other ones, maybe, you know, the old, you know, text data types and things like that.
Right.
So what we had to do is actually treat SQL Azure as its own unique database, different than SQL Server. So that's probably the most interesting one. We map those to native .NET types because mm-hmm. we're generating .NET classes. Mm-hmm. And another one that kind of caught us a little off guard at the very beginning was multiple active result sets, because we use multiple active result sets to actually perform some logic in a manner that reduces the number of round trips. Mm-hmm. And with a little bit of hacking and a little bit of talking to the team, very quickly we just found, to get the exact same result, which was, performance, to get that same result, which is using a different piece of technology.
So how are you doing that? So
mostly with T-SQL calls, looking at the schema, We were using the multiple active result sets when we kind of queried the schema to present the first screen I showed in that demo.
Right.
So we actually, in the SQL Azure version, we're not using Mars.
Okay, sweet. So what are the next steps here? I mean, is this product now available?
We actually launched this product on our Q3 release, which was on November 7th. So this product's actually live for our customers and in actually a lot of customers' hands. And we have support tickets open already that
Seriously?
People
wow.
play with it. Yeah.
So even though SQL Azure is not actually in production yet, you guys are ready to go.
Right. Once you guys at Microsoft said that it was feature complete, uh-huh. we jumped right on that.
Okay. So. Nice. Okay. So next steps, where do you go from here?
I mean, next steps is to check out our team blog and our team and our documentation. If you're interested in SQL Azure and you're interested in using an ORM with SQL Azure, as far as I know, we're probably the only one that supports it in production. So go ahead, check it out, and take it from there.
Now, are you using it internally for building your own applications, or
we dog food open access. We actually dog food all the Telerik products. I mean, we learned that from Microsoft. It's
right.
the best feedback, and
it's the only way.
And being a developer company, just a smaller version, how Microsoft is, we get the best feedback from developers.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually are using open access in one of our flagship products. It's called Sitefinity, a content management system.
Sitefinity? Oh, the CMS, right?
CMS.
Okay. And so Sitefinity is a CMS, and you're dogfooding the ORM?
As part of Sitefinity.
Sweet.
So the next version of Sitefinity will be using open access as its data access layer. It'll be coming out pretty shortly. Very shortly, actually. And so that means by default, you will be able to use SQL Azure as your store.
You choose, right?
Exactly.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. I'll make sure that the links to all these different products that we talked about are in the show notes.
Great.
Thanks again for coming out. Thanks again for using Windows Azure. And thanks again for taking the time to talk to us about it.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Stephen. And thank you for watching.